Welcome to today's episode of People and Possibilities. As always, I'm your host, Thomas Igeman. And this is a chance for us to share our learnings and insights from some of our work with the leading tech companies around the globe. We're continuing our journey into artificial intelligence and specifically its role on the HR function. Now, in the last two episodes, I spent quite a bit of time setting the stage on what's not going to change with AI as ways we expect AI to impact, particularly the roles, responsibilities, and structures in the HR org. I wanted to do something a little different for this episode and actually sit in conversation with Naomi Davidson, an executive partner at TL Partners, who has been leading a lot of our work for the AI in HR industry report. Our conversation is far-reaching, and we'll break it up over the next couple of episodes. I wanted to start with the question of why and why now? Why are we even working on this report, given the plethora of content around AI in HR today? Why is this so personally meaningful to us at TL Partners? And why do we believe it's crucial for HR professionals to not just consider, but embrace AI? In this first episode, we'll explore the urgency behind AI adoption in HR, the opportunities it presents, and some of the early skepticism surrounding it. Let's dive into why AI is more than just a tool, but a necessity. You know, Naomi, you were the genesis of this idea. Now, a number of months ago, you came and were like, here's a thing I think the world needs, and I think it's a cool opportunity to do, and I think this would be like fun fitting for TL Partners to go after. And, you know, on one hand, that seems really obvious. Everybody is talking about AI. But on the other hand, that's kind of why it's not obvious, because everybody is talking about AI, and even increasingly like AI in HR. And so I'm curious, why now? And both that question in terms of why now for you engaging in this work, why now do you think it's strategic for TL Partners to be here? And why now do you think our current and even perhaps potential clients should be thinking about this now?
For me, the exigency of AI felt so prevalent when I left my role as a VP of People and Operations at my last company. And both in terms of what was possible, but also I heard this a lot in the interviews too, I really had this feeling that of responsibility to the people of the organization, meaning if we weren't understanding and helping people to shape the future of what AI is going to do to HR, then we were just going to get bulldozed by it and it was us what it was going to do. And I just felt like that sort of tidal wave was coming. And I guess, to be honest, out of some fear, at least that I had in the role, was I assumed our peers would be having right now. And just a tremendous amount of empathy for the role of a CPO, CHRO, that it's just so busy. You're holding down so many forts. You're doing so many things. Increasingly, the responsibility and the breadth of the responsibility of an HR executive is so broad. I just didn't feel like they had the time and the space to really explore and understand what's going on in ways that are practical and meaningful. To some people, I found that they were better at it than me. So like, I was actually really impressed with some of the people out there, like, wow, they're doing some really thoughtful stuff and getting a lot done. And that just makes me excited for our clients and for the community that will receive this information, is to get the benefit of the people who have been able to charge ahead, and even understanding what makes it possible for some of those people to have the cycles to charge, why it might be harder for you in organization X, and help validate some of the challenges or the problems that you're having. So it really came from a lot of empathy for the position that I felt that I was in as a person in their shoes. And so that's one of the reasons why I felt like, why now? That just the time and this and the pace of this is happening very quickly. But another thing that, you know, you and I talked about a lot, and it's something that has really been a debate, it's still a debate now, is what is the value of AI? Is it just a lot of, you know, you called it tool versus toy? And I think when you started the report, there's a lot of tool in there. But I also heard a lot of HR leaders saying, like, look, I am just seeing a toy. And I really wanted to get a sense of to what extent, where's the reality? Is it, so there was just a tremendous amount of curiosity about that. Is it ready? Is it prime time? So I think that those really were the drivers. And I do think that for HR leaders, one of the discoveries of doing these interviews and talking to people on the out there in the field is I really do think that there are some very, very practical things that everybody needs to be doing today, if not for the benefit of the company, but really for the benefit of your peers, your colleagues, and the people that you're working with. Because I am of the mindset that if you are not getting smart about AI, then the likelihood that you will be disrupted and left behind is increasing dramatically and rapidly. So one thing that I have found out and want to do some more research on is that this is affecting women, affecting men, both in terms of getting left behind and not engaging as much as they could be in the technology and getting smart about, but also that women are more likely to be holding jobs that are getting disrupted. In addition to what I was feeling before, I think now I'm also feeling a stronger sense of meaning and purpose and hope that AI can actually be more of a resource to provide more equity as opposed to drives a bigger divide. And that's only going to come intentionally. That's not going to happen for free. It never does. It never has. And so if you want technology to be supportive and empowering, you've got to invest in it to make it so. It's not going to do that by itself.
There's so many interesting threads there, and we'll make sure that we come back to each of those. I kind of want to start with the 30,000 foot view. What is the lay of the land? How do you see the world of AI today, enterprise AI? I'm curious about it from an HR lens, but I know you've been thinking about it even more broadly. So just what's kind of the lay of the land? Where are we at? Where are we going to? And then where do people find themselves across that positioning?
Yeah. So as you know, when we started, one of the instigators for the report was actually the McKinsey Global Institute's analysis of the state of Gen AI adoption in businesses today. And they looked at many functions, but one of the functions that they looked at obviously was HR. And they said 12% of HR executives in their survey were using Gen AI. And those that were using it were getting significant value, both in cost savings, but also in revenue, which I believed.
Yeah,
I mean, some people challenged that and didn't believe it, but I believed it. And but I didn't find enough information in that report to tell me why I should really believe it. Right. What were they using? How were they using it? And who was implementing it? Where were they implementing it? And additionally, I thought it was interesting that 88% weren't. Right. So that was kind of the point of curiosity. From my experience of going out and talking to people, I think one thing just before I dive into that is helpful to take the lens of, so you and I, we've been working with AI for a lot longer than the last 2 years, right?
Yeah.
The company that was called .ai, we were using NLP and machine learning, and I almost call that AI classic now.
Yeah.
Predictive techniques and tools and systems, you know, being able to do organizational network analysis, all of those kinds of really high-end analytics that you can get out of what I would call classic AI. And then of course there's the Gen AI, which is what the report focused on. In my experience right now, from the interviews that I've had, really everyone is using Gen AI now. The question is, are they using it intentionally and systemically, or are they using it more on an individual level and in an ad hoc way? I would say that adoption has, this is at least, if you go out and you read the latest reports, it seems that that is what is being said out there. And that is absolutely what I found as well. So I validated a lot of the reports that I'm hearing that there's an increased level of adoption. And when it comes to certain use cases, I would absolutely say that Gen AI, for example, is ready for prime time. There are many use cases that Gen AI is not yet ready for, where people are experimenting and exploring. And that is part of, I think, one of the findings of the report that people can really delve into is, where are we seeing capability building and starting to really hit the ground that goes beyond supporting individual workflows and functions and starting to support systemic and organizational workflows and functions. So Gen AI is still making inroads there, but not fully adopted across the HR talent lifecycle or systems and capabilities. So still a lot more to develop, but there's definitely use cases where it's more advanced and less so.
What are you most worried that HR leaders are getting wrong right now as they think about AI?
Yeah, maybe they sort of sit in two different classes. So in one class, I think there's significant anxiety and avoidance. And I would say in that class, it's an uncomfortable place to be. And I would say you cannot stay in that position. For the sake of your team, at a minimum, the people who work for you, the likelihood that you are just not preparing them for their next role or for their next job, which is a huge responsibility of HR, you're just not doing it. And so you have to engage this. That would be one thing. That said, I think there are some very accessible and hopefully inspiring ways for you to engage. And I really believe that building AI fluency is one of them. Yeah. Very empowering thing to do for your team and for your organization. And who's not going to love learning how to do things more effectively? But it's really about building at least a few key skills and knowing how to do that well. Because as we've talked about, there's some pitfalls there. Yeah. And people have definitely fallen into them. And I think that's one of the things that if you've had bad experiences so far, you're more likely to be reticent. You're more likely to be pulling back and believing that somehow it's AI's fault and it wasn't ready. But you're actually the person, I hate to say it, who's missing out in that because other people are using it up to 50 to 75% of their day now. And those people are able to operate and do their job in a way that you simply can't. And that is increasingly becoming true. So don't get lost behind. Don't get left behind. It's actually really quite easy to learn. And that is actually one of the great benefits of Gen AI is you can talk to it like a normal person and you can learn from it and it can help teach you how to use it more effectively. So I do think that's one way that people are getting it wrong. I think the other way that I'm hearing some people really get it wrong is almost on the flip side of that, like, hey, this is here, it's coming, just get used to it. And then relying a little bit too blindly on the tools and the technology to solve all these questions of security, governance, ethics. And that is, I think, a huge disaster waiting to happen. I think that the simple examples of where that fails is kind of your BCG report, right? Where they just apply it to situations where it's not good. The worst case is, oh my gosh, we've been using this tool to screen up all of our resumes. And now we find a year later that we have a higher attrition rate, less equity in our teams, and we're actually paying the price in a lot of ways in our culture and our organization that we didn't see before. So I do feel that just because it made your job faster and easier, to your point about quality, it raises the bar on the assessment of what it's doing and when and why and how, and evaluation of what's really going on in those algorithms. It's your job to know that. And if you're not sophisticated enough to understand it yourself, once again, you don't have to have all the answers. This is where you bring in the cross-functional partners, you get help, and you build that fluency in your team so that you're not the only one expected to know.
Thanks for tuning into today's episode. AI in HR remains a really exciting and really challenging frontier. As we discussed, the urgency behind AI adoption is real, but the pathway is not without its obstacles. In the next episode, Naomi and I will continue to dig deeper into how AI is changing the roles of HR professionals and the impact it's having on performance management in particular. Don't forget to subscribe and join us for the next conversation where we continue to explore the intersection of AI and HR. And as always, if you have other questions or ideas, or perhaps you're looking for support with your own organization's AI journey, don't hesitate to reach out to us at tlpartners.biz. I'm Thomas. The possibilities are endless.